When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to this week's episode of Temple of Hoop Podcast. I'm your co-host, Coach Maples, here as always with the bro, Kings. Kings, what's going on with you, my guy?
Yes, sir, man. We doing good. Starting to shoot, you know, this podcast, you know, sitting down from the living room now, trying to move the setup, trying to make the volume sound better.
Yeah, my man, I don't have to use my Amplify set no more, but my man doing good these past couple weeks, man. It was good to link up last week, bro. Real talk.
Yes, sir, man. It was great. Real talk.
Yeah, man. Before we get to the basketball, I'm sorry I had to hit Kings with this week first started. Will Smith is a wild boy, man.
Off script, man.
Oh, man. Shout out to the Fresh Prince, man. Like King said, just a lot of frustration pent up.
Months.
My man just had to let it unravel on national television. But
only so much jokes you can take, huh?
Yeah, man. It was funny because Chris Rock, like my favorite comedian too, was just a bad look, man. You know, I've been rocking with Will Smith heavy. I try to call him corny, but he held it down. Man, West Philadelphia, born and raised, man. It gives a new I guess that J. Cole lyric, I want a real love, that Jada and that Will love, man. I guess it gives it a whole new beat.
He did it for the agenda tonight, bro.
Man, that was crazy, man. All jokes aside, not a good look on all ends, man. We can't be having our brothers on stage, man, going manny like that, man. We got to keep it together on national TV. Man, to this hoop thing, Kings, let's start out. Man, let's talk about these Miami Heat, bro. Held on to number one seed for a minute. Finally lost it tonight. Those Celtics, who we're going to also talk about at some point, finally caught them. They're in the dead heat now. But, man, they took a pretty big beat down from the Nets over the weekend. Just really struggling to blow up with Jimmy and Udonis Haslem. I think Spo had to miss a game for personal reasons. It's just they still sit at 47-28 is number one seed, but it seems like nobody is, you know, taking that team seriously. You know, they are 2 years removed from a finals run. But man, what do you take on the Heat right now, man? 75 games in.
It's been my issue with them all year. I always told you it's a problem if your best scorer is Tyler Hero. That's just a problem. Like, just no other way to put it. No other way to put it around it. Your best player cannot shoot, like, at all. It's been a weird thing with Jimmy. He used to be that he was, you know, hot and cold from three, and, you know, he was able to at least get to his midi and be able to work off that. But it's to the point where he don't even want to take any type of jumpers. And when he do take jumpers, I mean, it's like auto bricks, you know what I mean? So it's like he's morphed into more of a facilitator's result to try and make himself more offensively effective. But, you know, they need him to score, bro. Like, you know, they don't have enough offense to where, you know, Jimmy can afford to, you know, have games where he's floating with like 12 to 15 points.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? And then Kyle Lowry's only giving you 10. You know what I'm saying? Like, they can't have that. They need Jimmy to be a consistent 25 points a night. They need Tyler Herro to give them consistent 21, 24. And they need Bam Adebayo to give them consistent 18 to 21 minimum. Like, that's what they need offensively to be able to win at the highest level. And they just not getting that. And it's only so much DHOs, Duncan Robinson you can run. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if having to play the five is starting to wear on Bam, but you know it seems like he's being less effective nowadays on both ends a little bit. To top it off, now you have a locker room issue. Yeah, where you have your Hall of Fame all time coach is not getting along with now the declining best player on your team, who's now who is getting overpaid at this point. So I mean, in terms of his production, obviously, you know, get your money as a player. You know, I'm not going to hate on nobody, but in terms of production, he's being overpaid. So it's a recipe for disaster for that team right now. And they're peaking down at the wrong time when a lot of dangerous teams are peaking up. So I'm not very confident in them right now.
Yeah, I think I got to give a shout out to Nekias on this one. Even when the Heat were at their peak, he was still saying, he was like, you know, his profile of them was like, they're a team that is magnificent defensively, has an exceptional coach, top two, top three, and just extremely shaky half-court offense that might do them in. Like, he's been saying that all year, and I think that's kind of rearing its ugly head. And, you know, we always see it towards this time of the year, you know, playoffs in a few weeks, you see teams start to get into that mode, and you're starting to see games become a little more heated, and teams are exposing that. All that being said, they are 47-28. I recall you being on Wax saying, if they catch the Miami Heat if they catch the Nets in the first round, you picking Brooklyn in six quite comfortably. Are you holding on to that?
Yeah, I said that if the Nets was fully healthy.
Oh, Yeah.
But honestly, it might be. I might just take it regular. Honestly, like at this point, like it's like I said, I don't like how Miami's playing. If they get into a half court battle with the Nets, it's gonna be disastrous. And the Nets also are able to play up and down. It's just not a good matchup for them. At this point in time, and that's because of Jimmy's decline. When they had Jimmy last year, you know, who was playing a lot better, I would have went with Miami. You know, if they went with the Jimmy last year, who was better on both ends, but with this Jimmy, they don't have enough. I just don't think they have enough to push Brooklyn. Also, Brooklyn was didn't have as much chemistry last year as they do this year, at least with Kyrie and KD. And they also have a better role players now too, as well, that in terms of, you know, having consistent scoring, and now they have better size as well with Drummond. So I don't like the matchup, bro. That's just me.
Yeah, I hear you. So it looks like it'll either be as a number one or two seed, they would get Cleveland or the Nets at this point, because Toronto has officially passed up the Cleveland Cavaliers. Toronto's comfortably at six right now with the game up. I think Cleveland's just trending the wrong way at this point. So I think whoever gets that one or two seed, you're kind of praying for to get the Cleveland Cavaliers. Actually, as of right now, Charlotte with that win tonight, LaMelo was special, by the way. Charlotte with that win tonight over Brooklyn actually knocked Brooklyn down to nine and won the season series. So something to think about. Brooklyn may have to win two just to get in, because they're at nine now. They finished tied with Charlotte. They have to win two. So just keep an eye on that. Man, that's Brooklyn is just the injuries, man. It's the injuries and then Kyrie sitting out. He was freed. He did not play well in his first home game. But I think all in all, I think the Nets are a pretty safe bet to come out of that play. And it's just weird because, you know, the Charlotte Hornets, the more I looked into them, they have beaten and lost to like the same amount of elite and terrible teams. Whatever team that they can compete with anybody, and they'll lose to anybody. That's the Charlotte Hornets for you. So in a one game off, that's the type of team you kind of want to stay away from. So we'll see. We'll see how that works.
That is true, you know, and that's the type of team I was concerned, because that's the type of team that they play up and down.
Yeah,
you know, they get up and run. They have young athletes. If they get hot, you know what I mean, they're like a March Madness type of team.
Yeah,
you know
exactly. That's exactly.
They
just need it.
if they catch you on the right game, that's a bad. That's a bad outing for you. So, yeah, that's probably the most dangerous playing team I think Brooklyn would see if they had to to play their way back into the playoffs.
Right. So chugging along, West has become real heated at this point in the season, as always. I think it happens every year around this time. People start shaping their NBA, all-NBA teams. It was weird because this year the voters were notified, which changed my all-NBA teams. The voters were notified that Joker and Embiid will be eligible at center and forward, which technically is untrue if you look at how they are played.
Of course. But
the rules
but I know. Yeah. Politics, you know how it goes.
The rules have been altered. I want to ask you a double-ended question. One, we're going to talk. We're both going to give our first team all NBA at this point. I'll go first with the rule changes. Obviously, the forwards I think are pretty clearly the forward center. The front line is pretty clearly Joker, Embiid, and Giannis. I think the guard is going to be the heavily contested one, and I ended up settling on officially. On Luka and Book. That's who I ended up settling with. I think Ja just missed too much time. Had nothing to do. We're going to talk about how the Memphis plays without him down later in the episode. But I just think he's just missed too much time. He was on another. He was sitting out another couple weeks now. Missed a gang of time. I think he's at about almost 18 to 20 games missed, which is 75% of the season. It's not terrible, but it's enough of a chunk where, you know, Luka's a tank. He plays. So I'll probably lean with Luka at the first team, along with Book. Book, I think the Suns ended up 11-4 without Chris Paul. I think that pretty much solidified him, and he was their engine through that. So that's my first team as of right now. So let's go ahead and give me yours.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically my first team. when they changed up the format, it basically became Devin Book. I think he has to be on there. They have to put him on there.
They're going
to
win 60 games, bro. They're going to win 60 games.
65, you know what I mean? They're going to win 65 games, so he has to be put on there. Luka has the monster stats again. The Mavs are trending up. He's been cooking all year, and they're looking very dangerous. And like you said, Jaws just missed too many games. The forwards is just a no-brainer. Those are the three leading MVP getters, so nobody can take their spots. So, yeah, you know, that's pretty much should be – at this point with the rule change, it shouldn't be difficult at this point to figure out. I mean, you can't put Ja there because, like you said, he's just missed too many games at this point.
Right.
And then such a close guard race, you can't do that and expect to be first team.
Right. So let's get tricky now. So we're pretty sold on the first team. Let's go second team now. So obviously your forwards are and center is out of it because obviously we thought that Joker or Embiid was going to have to drop down one. Who is your second team? All NBA right now. I know I didn't give you a chance to think. I kind of threw this at you, but just give it to me kind of off the cuff right now.
I've been thinking about it already. I got Steph, Ja, Tatum. The center is kind of tricky.
Yeah, that's what I was going for. Kind of tricky. Two names.
I think it'll be Cat. I think they'll put Cat finally. I think they'll put Cat.
Okay.
And then from my last forward. It's tough because, honestly, I think just because off games played, man, it's tough, man. This one is a tough one.
Is that DeRozan and LeBron?
It's I don't know if DeRozan's counts as a forward. Does he count?
That's right. That's
you know
right.
What I mean? That's the thing. Is he a guard or a forward? So it's like
I put him at four. I put him at four because the original starting lineup was Lonzo, LaVine, and then him at the three. That's why I thought he was a four. But you might be right.
If he's a forward, I'll go DeMar. If DeMar's a guard, I'll go LeBron.
Okay.
I think LeBron I just think LeBron ends up second team anyway.
Like, right. I was leaning that way too. I think it's hard to get a third leading scorer. I mean, 30 points a game at over 50%. I just think it's hard to keep him off. Like Bill did it last year, but he wasn't as efficient.
And he was still 13. And he was still 13. And this is right, remember right, right. LeBron. You know what I mean? This is right.
Usually they give it, like, if it's close, they give respect to the vets in this vote. If you look at historically, the vets usually get the nod over young guys. So, yeah, I would probably go. I'm actually would go. I mean, Gobert's been kind of crazy the second half of the season.
Yeah, that's who I was debating between. I was Cat and Gobert. Cat and Gobert for the second team. Because of the Wolves' turnaround, and how great he's been offensively, I think they'll give it to him.
Yeah, I might go to Gobert just because what he does to that team's floor defensively.
Of course.
Yeah, so I probably give it with Gobert. But if somebody chose Cat, I wouldn't argue it. That's how close it is to me, so I wouldn't argue with it. So
it's super
probably cool. Gobert, Tatum for sure. Tatum barely missed first team for me. Just that Giannis Joker and Embiid just been out of this world. Steph and Ja, obviously. And then, like I said, LeBron and DeRozan for that last spot. It doesn't really matter. I think I probably lean LeBron. But the only thing is, with DeRozan, if I go DeRozan, when they had all those injuries, he kept him in the first seed for a long time. He was like putting some hell of a games on the up to keep them afloat, but the injuries just ultimately took too big of a toll. So they couldn't overcome all of that. Man, yeah, I think that's my second team though. You know, you can interchange DeRozan and LeBron. I wouldn't be surprised, but you know, that thing with LeBron, man. I think the only guy year 19 who averaged the highest average of year 19, he's at 30. I think it was like Kobe with like 17, bro. Like that's the gap.
Bro, that's why you see Nitty over here tweeting some nonsense. I'm like, bro, LeBron's supposed to be retired. Like, yeah. how much people average in year 19? I think Kareem year 19?
Kareem was like 13 points a game, bro. Oh,
come on, man. Like, what are you doing here?
Yeah. And then Jordan was at, because of retirements, his officially was at year 17 or 18. He didn't get to year 19 because of the retirements. So it had been 19 years since he got drafted, but the year and a half off, it took a year there. So he never got to year 19.
But even then, he only played 16 total seasons. So
right, exactly.
Technically, he even had a year 17.
Right, exactly. Perfect. That's exactly it. So while we're here, we're talking about team records. Let's discuss this Memphis thing, man. So they absolutely boat race a Milwaukee team. They were missing Jrue Holiday, so I'll give them that. They dominate Milwaukee off the rip without Ja there. They now tomorrow go to 16-2 without Ja Morant this year, which is a larger win pace. It's a higher win pace. Listen to this, than the 2017 Warriors and the 72 win Bulls. That's the high.
That's how much these last three games without John.
Yeah. So I got a. It's a 2-part question for you that I want you to just give me what your thoughts are. One, what does this say about the Grizzlies? And what does this say about Jai, if anything at all? Like, it's kind of 2-parted. So what do you think the Grizzlies' success without Ja being is kind of for both parties? You know what I mean?
I mean, they boat raced the Nets without Ja, and then Nets had Kyrie and KD playing.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
It's what does it say is that, and I was kind of thinking about this with the Mavs, you know, when you think about teams that potentially what need a star, like you talk about, oh, does a team need a second star? It looks like maybe in this league, the auxiliary talent has gotten so good to the point where you overpaying for a star that is not good as other stars who, because in the thing with the league, and this is kind of why the cap kind of hurts the megastars. The thing is, the league is there'll be guys who aren't as good as other true megastars, but they'll get paid as much. You know what I'm saying? So it's like when you reach a certain star tier, you get paid like a Luka, like you get paid like a KD or so and so. But you could easily just produce like a Donovan Mitchell. You know what I'm saying? So it's so it's like when I look at teams where you pay a certain amount of guys like that, and you end up having to gut your depth. Now I look at teams like the Mavericks, and I look at teams like the Grizzlies where they don't overpay for a star like a pseudo star like that, or like a star, but that's not really a superstar like that. But they just have a bunch of guys who are just really good on both ends of the floor. You start to think that, are we starting to see a shift in how the younger teams build their rosters? That's what I'm starting to think about. Like, because you look at the Suns, it's the same thing. Because Chris Paul gets the lore of a star because of his Hall of Fame career and all that stuff. But if you look at his production, it's just, he's still a star production-wise, but it's definitely not anywhere near the, like, superstar production. Or
I think he's a star in effect more than production.
Yeah, in effect, right? Yeah, it's not, you're not seeing a top 15 player, top 20 player, but you get that effect and you get that type of basketball mind and that type of glue and like playmaker for your team. But you see, my talking point with the Suns, same thing. Like, just a bunch of really good players.
Yeah.
Who are all really good and all on contracts that make sense. And it's like, when I look at the Grizzlies, I'm like, that's how they're built. Like, they're built like a good team. Without, like, they don't need a star because their whole team makes sense. You have roster fits that fit the vision of the coach, that are fit each other's skill sets. You know what I'm saying? That are young, that can play on both ends, right? Like, they have skill sets that fit for both ends. So it's like, when you have that, you know what I mean? Like, it's not a knock on Ja.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not a knock on CP3 that the Suns kept chugging along without him. It's not a knock on Book that when he was gone, the Suns still went without him. That's praise to the front offices for saying that, look, we understand that, you know, it's risky to get stars. Also, we're not the best destination for these stars.
Yep.
So we're going to build proper top to bottom good teams. That's going to be our best chances to go to the chip. We're going to draft well, and we're going to hit on our veterans of free agent signings.
And the coach.
And we're going to hit on our coach and make sure our roster fits the coaching style. That's going to be our best chance to win. That's what you're seeing with a team like the Grizzlies. And I think it just shocks people. Because people are so used to, because, you know, and part of this comes from the LeBron heliocentric. Then you had the Westbrook and OKC. Then you had the Harden Rockets. It's like people are so used to seeing guys backpack teams. So when they see that you don't need to backpack teams to have high impact for your team, it confuses them because they think themselves, well, the Grizzlies are so good that Ja Morant's really not that important for that team. Yeah, but it's like, if the Grizzlies were in a playoff series and they were in a 7-game series, I guarantee you they would need Ja Morant
to help bust
the defense's coverage and to have the defense have to, you know, consistently have to adapt and adjust to his type of up-tempo playmaking and his type of up-tempo scoring and the ability to beat dudes off the basket. Like, just a dynamic player. It's like, how can you say a guy like that added to a team with this much depth and talent doesn't make them better? Like, it absolutely doesn't make them better. If you want to say he's not as valuable as other guys, okay, I can see that, because other guys need to do more because their rosters are either worse, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or they're being asked to do more physically based off their physical attributes because they're bigger guys, you know what I mean? They can do certain things.
Exactly.
Add the stats up more in certain ways that these other guards can't do. But at the end of the day, for me, it's like, you know what I mean? Like, I understand it's hard when you look at MVP, because it's like, yeah, you know, I love Ja, I love Book, but yeah, you know, Embiid, Joker, Giannis have been better players this year. They've also been more valuable to their teams, respectively.
Yeah.
So I get why it's like, well, we can't really put you above that. But at the same time, it's disrespectful to then, you know, I feel like you don't have to disrespect what Ja has done and meant to his team, and what Book has done and meant to his team when he was there, to elevate those guys, you know, Giannis, Embiid, and Joker. Like, you can make the case for them with respecting the fact that the Grizzlies and Suns have really good, great, or even just great role players and great pieces around their stars, and their stars are still great when they play with those pieces, and they're good or great without the stars, and they're even better with the stars. You know what I mean? So it's like,
on top of that, I think if you even ask, like, particularly, I think with these two, like, if you ask LeBron and Luka, they would prefer to play in a system like that. Like, if you watch LeBron in Miami or Luka when, like you've mentioned before, when he plays overseas, like, it's not like that. So I think they prefer the system based off. But I think it's like kind of what you said. It's just guys being in positions where they have to carry kind of made us, you know, see lesser in the guys that, you know, are part of the system and maybe don't have to do as much night to night. Like, I saw Roz on ESPN, when she's breaking down why Booker is not close to being in, not even in her on her MVP candidate. And one of it was overall importance to the team. I'm like, he is the offensive engine on a 60-win team. Like, how can you say the overall importance of the team just by bringing up the fact of how good they play without him? Well, that's a credit to the organization and Monty Williams, you know, not a knock on Book, you know what I mean? I think it's the same thing with John Morant. It's a credit to, you know, Taylor Jenkins, the draft picks they make. Like, if you look at their late draft picks, they got 100% hit rate. Every single draft pick they drafted, those late first-round draft picks, the lottery, as far as, you know, Ja and Triple J, Tillman, Bane, you know what I mean? Even the Zaire Williams, like, everybody they draft can play. And I think to have a hit rate that much on draft picks, now, I think what you said was going to end up biting them, kind of with the same thing is going to be with Atlanta kind of went through, is when you keep drafting so many guys that can play, at some point the second contract comes.
Yeah.
And that's when you see what decisions are made. Because at that point, small market, maybe can't take the same, cap hits on year to year, luxury tax hits from year to year. And that's when the tough part will come. So I think the best thing for Memphis is probably to capitalize on, you know, right now while their roster is, you know, quote unquote cheap before, because Ja is going to be eligible for a supermax. Triple J is going to be eligible for a max. A lot of guys are going to get near max contracts or close to it when the time comes. So I'm interested to see how that plays out. Like, ultimately, I think you said it before, in a way, some of these teams get punished for drafting so well because they got to get off players who they would otherwise keep. Wasn't for a very punitive, you know, luxury tax. So, yeah. You know, we'll see how that works. So, on the other end, you got the Warriors who can't win a game without Steph in the lineup, you know, because everything is kind of dependent on him. So that's the other end of that. So I think we should appreciate, you know, those teams who are able to, you know, thrive without their guys there, opposed to, you know, knocking the guys down. So I just think it's all a matter of perspective there. All right, Kings, we have discussed this, but it looks like it might come into fruition. The Lakers really might miss the playoffs, bro.
Yeah.
It might really happen. Today is when I think it really got in danger, because the Lakers now lost the tiebreaker to the Pelicans and the Spurs, if it comes down to that. They fall to 10 officially. They have to finish a game ahead of the Pelicans to get the ninth spot back and play the play-in game at home. They are one game in front of the Spurs with 8 games left. And here is the remaining schedule: at Dallas, at Utah, Pelicans at home, Nuggets at home, at Phoenix, at Golden State, home against the Thunder, at the Nuggets. I see 2 wins there. And I think it'll all be dependent on who, on what the Spurs do. But I think I see 2 wins, which would put them at 33-49 to finish the season. I think they beat the Pelicans on Friday and the Thunder on the 8th. And other than that, maybe the Warriors, because the Warriors are playing terrible without Steph, and they're probably going to sit him and just concede to get in that, you know, third, fourth seed. So before we go, did you see the game tonight? I know you kind of don't pay attention to them cats like that no more.
I didn't. I mean, I wasn't watching the game, but I heard what happened.
So the Lakers got their largest lead of the season, 23 points. I got to give Fogle some credit. He did a really good job.
It's not the largest lead because they gave up a worse lead to the Thunder in the early start of the year.
It was second half of the season.
Second half.
Okay. So, Vogel was prepared. He knew the gravity of the game. Vogel came in with a playoff-type game plan. Really just blitzed B.I. and C.J. and pick and roll the whole time. Made other guys have to score and make decisions. And what happened was, you know, Jonas was screening. So they were outlet to him. He's not a great passer or decision maker. So the Lakers were pretty much killing the Pelicans' half court offense. They made an adjustment, stopped having Jonas set the screen and put a ball handler there. And they started torching that trap in the middle of the floor. And Vogel would not drop it. And then LeBron was just on fire the first half. And then they just put full out deny in the second half, made everybody else win. Nobody aside from Monk to make a shot. And that was all she wrote. And then LeBron turned his ankle late. It just wasn't the same after he turned his ankle the last 5 minutes of the game. Sounds like he might even sit the Mavericks game. He said, quote, "I don't even know how I finished that game." Said he would have sat himself. He said he would have pulled himself out if the game wasn't so important as far as the seeding. So he might not even play the Mavericks game on Tuesday. It just it doesn't look good. But going back, I got them having winning two more games. I can't even say it's good because if the pick is top 10, it goes to the Pelicans. So the Pelicans get the play-in game and the Lakers pick possibly if they miss the play. If they get the spot and the Lakers will give the pick to New Orleans as part of the AD deal. So where are you with this?
LeBron coming out and saying he can't play. You know, he didn't know how he finished the game. Sounding like they're going to be cautious with his injury. Sounds like mission accomplished. You know, sounds like mission accomplished for LeBron James. Get your scoring title, climb up the scoring rankings, find a way to have an early off season and celebrate. Sounds like mission accomplished. Maples over here for LeBron James. And,
you know what's funny? You know what's funny? 13 minutes after the game, he was reposting Lobo's Instagram stories on his IG. I was like, okay. I was like, all right, I know what time it is.
I'm telling you.
So this offseason about to be crazy. But, yeah, I just, man, on the Pelican side of it, I got to give him credit for not dropping, you know, not giving up down 20. And LeBron came out 25 in the first half. He had murder on his mind. You could see it early. He was really trying to get that, to secure that ninth seed. But, man, it's frustrating to see. Like, I think Willie Green can coach, but seeing Vogel kind of get out-coached like that by a guy who's in his first year, it was kind of sad, bro. He shouldn't be able to eat your chop up like that, and you have no counterpunch to his counter. Like, once Willie countered that, it was all bad. But I think that's kind of been the story with Vogel. We've discussed this. He's more of a planner than an adjuster. If you take him out what he likes to do, he pretty much is cooked and depending on what LeBron does. So, you know, we'll see what happens, man. So are they, you think they're done? You think they're cooked?
Yeah, man, they're cooked. I mean, like I tweeted after the game today, man. Like I tweeted my gift for a reason because they're cooked. They're cooked, fellas. LeBron does not care if they keep that pick or not. He's made this clear since All-Star break. He does not care about that pick and what happens to it. But this is on the Lakers, man. I mean, this is on the Lakers, the organization. You know, you have cheap ownership when you don't put the right people in the front office, when you don't have a roster that aligns with the visions of the coaching staff, and you don't field a proper coaching staff, number one, because it goes back to the number one issue is that you're just cheap. You don't want to pay for any quality anywhere. So it's like, It's just tough, man. It's just tough because for them, the Lakers do the opposite of what teams like the Grizzlies, teams like the Suns do. They just want to pay for stars and that's it. And they have the stars carry all the bad players while these other teams are actually trying to build good teams and make sure top to bottom their teams are good. Like the Lakers just want to just pay stars only and think the stars can just help carry the scrubs. But that doesn't work in today's era because we have teams that are drafting well. You have teams that are building good teams. And then you have teams like the Clippers who are willing to say, hey, we'll pay anybody who's good. And we'll retain all our players. The only reason why you don't see the Clippers right now dominating is because they're injured. But when Kawhi PG come back and they have all these players that they've, you know, drafted and they've picked up and they've retained, then you're going to see, you know, what that money is going to really look like when everybody on the floor. So it's like this isn't the era to not retain the people you draft. And the thing is, the Lakers, that's annoying, is that the scouting team.
Elite.
They Elite. Do their job. They scout the right guys. They get the right draft picks in the building, get the right young talent in the building, just for the front office and ownership to mess it all up. So it's not like they don't have a crucial part to the equation. They probably have the most important part to the equation solved. They've had it solved for years. But the problem is since everybody, everything else in the organization is so trash that even the most crucial part of building a team gets dwindled in impact because your owner is just cheap and DC doesn't want to put the right people in the right position in terms of making decisions. So it's like they just need to overhaul. They need to overhaul the management. And until they do that, you're just not going to see, you're not going to go nowhere because LeBron's getting old. The question is still out there for Mr. Anthony Davis.
And listen, I was going to circle that. That's the biggest issue right there.
The question, you know, the question is still out on, you know, on Anthony Davis right now. So it's like, you're going to have to do your jobs in the front office. You're going to have to, you know, build a real team and you don't have assets to do that because you wasted them all. So good luck. That's all I've been saying for weeks.
There y'all have it, man. Kings, you know, he gets that fire in his belly when we talk Lakers, man. He's so frustrated that they wasted a productive LeBron year in the twilight of his career. And I feel him. You just can't waste these type of years from a guy that productive this late in his career. Make sure you guys follow and subscribe to the pod. That was my fault last week. We had technical difficulties midweek, but we will be back this week, midweek on Green Room.
Yes, sir.
So that was on me. I will hit the record button this time. Scout's honor. I will get that done. Make sure you follow at us Kings. We're on Twitter. Myself, JJMables55_MST. Subscribe and follow to the pod. Give us feedback. We'd love to tap in with you guys. And we will see you Wednesday on Green Room. And we'll drop the episode Thursday. Peace. Y'all be safe. We out of here.